Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
The last few weeks, we have talked a lot more about Jesus' life and His message, but today we are going to look at some of His miracles. Now, I want to encourage you to really lean in. I want to encourage you to take notes, whether you're taking notes on pen and paper or maybe on your smartphone. I encourage you to take notes. And not just that, I want you to participate in the sermon today. If you are watching right now on Facebook, come on, do me a favor. Come on, find the little heart right there and just tap the heart. Come on, just a little practice right now. Come on, a little thumbs up. Come on, just go ahead and hit a little thumbs up right now. You might even want to practice typing a comment right now. Just put a yes. Put a, wow, Pastor, you look so good this morning. Hey, I don't know what you want to put in there, but I want you to put it in there and let's participate in this message today as we talk about the miracle working power of Jesus. What we find in the miracles of Jesus is that there's even a message in the miracles. Now, we're going to look at three miracles today and how these miracles directly relate and apply to our lives. The first miracle we're going to look at is the possible miracle. The second miracle is the progressive miracle. And the third miracle is the pressing miracle. Okay, let's start with the possible miracle. It's found right there in Mark chapter 9, verse 20. The Bible says, "So they brought the boy to Jesus, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. 'How long has this been happening?' Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, 'Since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can.' 'What do you mean, if I can?' Jesus asked. 'Anything is possible if a person believes.' The father instantly cried out, 'I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief.'" Now, just a few verses later, Jesus cast out this evil spirit, and the Bible says that the spirit left the boy. But in this passage of Scripture, this is what we see. We see that this father is having a crisis. And while he is having a crisis, Jesus is wanting to have a conversation. Now, we find ourselves right now in our own crisis. I think we can draw a parallel right now because we are in a COVID-19 coronavirus crisis. And just like this father, we don't have a lot of control over what is going on. Now, it is evident here in the story that the father just wants to get out of his crisis. But Jesus wants him to get something out of his crisis. That's why Jesus is wanting to have a conversation. Now, I know each and every one of us right now, come on, we want to get out of the COVID-19 crisis. But here's what I believe. I believe that God wants us to get something out of this crisis. I believe that God wants to have a conversation with us. I believe God wants to do something in us and for us individually, in our families, and even corporately. We're not just going to go through this crisis. We're going to get something out of this crisis. Now, we look at the story. Jesus could easily heal the boy, but Jesus wasn't just interested in healing the boy. He also wanted to help the father. Now, here's something that I've learned over the course of my life and over the course of ministry, that Jesus isn't always as concerned about fixing things as he is about getting us fixating on the right things. That's right. Jesus isn't always as concerned about just fixing our situation as he is about getting us fixating and looking at the right things in our lives. And Jesus asked the father this question. He says, "How long has this been happening?" Now, whenever Jesus asks a question, you need to know that the answer is more for you than it is for him. Because when Jesus asks a question, it requires some personal evaluation that is going to reveal our current direction. Do you remember when Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and they have eaten the forbidden fruit and God comes into the garden and God begins to ask them, where are you? God did not lose them. God knew exactly where they were, but God wanted Adam to do the evaluation that would reveal his direction. And he says, I am hiding. What Adam was saying is, I am moving in the wrong direction. And that's exactly what we see in this story. The father is moving in the wrong direction. Jesus says, how long have you been dealing with this? And he goes, it's been such a long time since he was a little boy. Man, he's thrown himself in the fire. He's thrown himself in the water. And what we see is that this father is moving further down that path towards hopelessness. And he cries out and he says, please, please have mercy on us. Please help us if you can. I love Jesus's response. He says, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. Come on, did you see what Jesus did with the if? Come on, he just switched that if around. And the father said, if you can, and Jesus says, if I can, he says, how about this? If you can believe, then I can. Jesus just switched the if, and then the father cries out, and he says, Lord, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You see, the possible miracle is all about perspective. The possible miracle is all about perspective. Yes, Jesus released the boy, but Jesus did something else in this passage of scripture. Jesus refocused the father. He got his eyes on who Jesus was and what Jesus could do. And you see, all miracles start with a perspective shift. All miracles start whenever I get my eyes off of myself and I get my eyes on God. And that's literally what perspective means. Perspective means your point of view. It means the way that you are looking, the direction of your vision. That's why all miracles start as a perspective shift, because as long as I am looking at me and not at God, I'm not going to experience the supernatural miracles that God wants to do in my life. I cannot just see with physical eyes. No, I've got to begin to see with spiritual eyes. That's a different point of view. That means I'm looking from a different perspective. You see, during this crisis, I believe that God wants to refocus all of us. He wants us to see him for who he really is, the one who makes all things possible. You see, and I want my response to be just like this father. It says, I do believe, but sometimes we need to add, but God, help me with my unbelief. You see, that's why we need to keep refocusing. Because if we're honest, man, I can believe today, but man, I don't, in an hour, I'm going to feel that those emotions start rising up and the anxiety begins to build and I haven't seen the change that I wanted to see yet. And now all those feelings and emotions are coming back, or maybe it's the next day, or maybe it's the next week. Listen, it's okay to say, God, help me overcome my unbelief. God, I believe. All this is a refocusing. It is constantly our point of view changing from our situation to our Savior. Our point of view going from ourselves to him. Not seeing what we can do, but seeing what he can do. The possible miracles that we experience all come from a shift in our perspective. The next miracle is a progressive miracle. That's found in Mark chapter 8. The scripture says this: when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. You see, this miracle is interesting because it didn't just happen in one moment. It didn't happen in one prayer. It didn't happen in one touch. You see, we love the instant things, the fast things, and we love the quick miracles that God can do. But this is what I've discovered, is that sometimes God does progressive miracles. Now, first off, before we even get into that, we need to first address this man's friends, because it said that this blind man had some people that brought him to Jesus. And can I just say that we need friends and people in our lives like this guy had in his lives? In the moments that we cannot see clearly, we need people who are bringing us to Jesus. We need people who are pointing us to Jesus. We don't need people who are pointing us in the wrong direction. We need people who are pointing us always back in the right direction and are pointing us to Jesus. Now, whenever they bring him to Jesus and Jesus leads this man outside, it says, spitting on the man's eyes. I would not recommend this as a part of your prayer strategy right now. But after spitting on this man's eyes and laying hands upon him, Jesus asks, can you see anything now? Remember what we just said in the last point. Jesus's question is for us to have a personal evaluation. And the man responds and he says, yes, I see people, but they look like trees. It's getting a little better, but I'm not all the way there yet. You see, this is where many times we can potentially get stuck in our faith journey. We get stuck in between the trees and our triumph. We get stuck between the forest and our finish line. And we can begin to say things like, well, it's better than it was, so I guess I'll just settle for this. Man, this is taking way too long. I guess I'll just stop with what I got. I don't understand everything that's happening right now, so I'll just take my trees and go home. See, some miracles take time. Like the miracle of your life being transformed. We are not transformers. God does not come down and push a button and all of a sudden you are some other person. No, our life is transformed, and our life is transformed because a progressive miracle. Now, what is a progressive miracle all about? A progressive miracle is all about patience. The progressive miracle is all about patience. Patience isn't passive. No, patience is active. It's me waiting with expectation. I expect the miracle that God began in my life to be completed in my life. It's me putting my faith, hope, and trust in Jesus every single day. Don't settle for the trees. Don't settle for just good enough. No, stay patient and stay expectant. Go ahead and get the miracle that God has for you because you decided to stay patient and expectant in the process. And this takes us to our last miracle today, and that is the pressing miracle. The pressing miracle. And this story is found in Mark chapter 5. In verse 25, it says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, if I can touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed from her terrible condition. Now, let's stop for just a moment and let's check her perspective. Come on, her perspective said, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Come on, perspective, check. Now let's check her patience. 12 years, multiple doctors, spent everything that she had, and yet she is still expecting to get better. Patience, check. You see, this is where the pressing miracle comes into play, because she had suffered through physical pain. She had suffered through financial loss. She had suffered through continual disappointment. She had suffered through social rejection. This woman had suffered. But the scripture says that she had heard about Jesus. Come on, if she heard about Jesus, that means that somebody was talking about Jesus. And that's why you need to be talking about Jesus. You need to be talking about what he has done in your life, what he's doing in your life, even during this season. Because during this season, people are suffering and they need to hear somebody talking about the faithfulness and the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. Because somebody talked about Jesus, she heard about Jesus, so when Jesus came her way, she begins to move forward, because this lady had done more than just hear about him. She had decided to believe in him. She had decided to believe in his healing power, but there's still a problem. This lady still had an obstacle. No, it wasn't just the loss that she had experienced. It wasn't just the rejection and the disappointment that she had walked through. No, she had an obstacle. And that obstacle was the crowd. The Bible says there were so many people crowding around Jesus as he was walking through the town that this woman had to press. Literally, she had to fight her way through the crowd in order to get to Jesus. In order to find her miracle, she had to press. You know, the crowd is the exact same thing that can still get in our way today. The crowd on Facebook can get in our way. The crowd in our own families can get in our way. The crowd in our workplace, the talking crowd of the 24-hour news stations, the crowd can still try to bring separation between us and Jesus. And the crowd begins to speak, and the crowd brings all of their negativity and all of their doubts and all of their fears and all of their lies. The crowd begins to bring all of their bitterness. It begins to bring all of their rejection, all the pain of their past. All of a sudden, the crowd begins to crowd us out of what God has for us. But not for this woman. You see, this woman pressed through the crowd. You see, too many times we find ourselves listening to the crowd instead of the King. We let the crowd tell us what's possible instead of allowing the King to tell us what's possible. Don't you remember one of the major messages of the gospel? We just talked about it again a moment ago when Jesus says that the kingdom is near. You see, the kingdom of God came near because the King came to the earth. Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. And when Jesus brought the kingdom near, the King was here with us. And so we can't let ourselves listen to the crowd of what people are saying on social media, listen to what people are saying on TV, listen to what people are saying in our office Zoom meetings. No, we are listening to what the King says is possible. You see, when we talk about this pressing miracle, the pressing miracle is all about persistence. The pressing miracle is all about persistence. The King himself said this to us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. He said, "Ask and keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you." You see, some miracles require persistence. Let me give you a definition of the word persistence. Persistence is keep doing what you know to do, even when doing what you know to do is not giving you the results you expected. Let me say it for you again. I really want you to write this down. This is essential. This is essential. Persistence is keep doing what you know to do, even when doing what you know to do is not giving you results. Listen to me today. Don't give up. Don't give out. And don't give in. Instead, do what Jesus said. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And keep on fighting your way through the crowd so that you can get what Jesus has in store for you. When we look at miracles, we know that all miracles require perspective. All miracles require us getting our eyes off of ourselves and our situation and getting our eyes on the one who can do something about it. We know that most miracles require patience. Most miracles don't happen in an instant. Most miracles happen over many moments, and it requires patience. And some miracles are going to require persistence. You are going to have to daily fight your way through the lies, fight your way through the unforgiveness, fight your way through the pain, fight your way through the loss, fight your way through the crowd in order to receive your miracle. Now, when I started thinking about this, I was thinking about persistence, and I was thinking about how that is requiring us to get our eyes on Jesus, and I started thinking about eyes up. And then when I started thinking about patience and not growing weary and keep expecting, I thought, man, we got to get our head up because we can't wallow in disappointment and discouragement. No, we got to keep our head up. We got to stay patient and stay expectant. Then I started thinking about fighting our way through the crowd and persistence. And I thought, man, we got to get our hands up. And I thought, that's our motto for 2020 here at North Point. Eyes up, head up, hands up. This is our posture for upgrade in 2020. And I believe that God wants to bring an upgrade into your life. I believe that God wants to bring a miracle into your life, a miracle into your family, even during this season. But come on, we got to get our perspective right, get our eyes up. We got to make sure that we're patient and keep that head up, expecting God to do the work that He promised He would do in us. And we got to get our hands up saying, God, I am willing to fight through whatever I've got to fight through to get what You have for me this year. Head up, eyes up, hands up. This is our posture of upgrade, and this is the miracle posture that we've got to get ourselves in so that we can live the life that God created us to live.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. If so, hit the subscribe button so you can hear more. For more information on how to connect with NCC, visit ncc.team.